I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Here with another pipe bomb on wrestling's pay-per-view pass. I am CM Jew, and this is CM Jew's Wrestling Reviews. On this episode, we look at what may very be one of the best WrestleManias of all time, as WrestleMania was all grown up for WrestleMania 23. And joining me tonight is a very good friend who I like to say is very much responsible for me doing this podcast. And when I say responsible for me doing this podcast, as I've said with TWK, and by the way, Chris and Gene over at Shaft Plus know this, what I really mean is for all the people coming over the internet with the pitchforks and torches, here's Dr. Frankenstein himself, Matty J.
Wow, I'm being compared to Paul Heyman. That's awesome.
I guess you can say I'm a Matty J guy.
There you go.
Matty J made the faithful decision one time. I can't remember which one. I think it was before 100 to let me on one of his podcasts, and he's probably been regretting it ever since.
Well, not so much. It's more like T-Dub. TWK, but that's another thing.
Well, let's be honest. T-Dub isn't, T-Dub works because he's not as funnier as I am.
Yeah, he's funny. He's just more nightmare fuel than funny. But I'm not going to bury the guy. He's awesome.
No, we're not burying. We are playfully ribbing our friend.
It is a roast.
Well, I am a bit Irish, so...
if there's one thing you know, it's roast.
Yes. Especially with Passover coming very soon, but that's a whole different story that I'm regretting, and we'll never get to that. So, WrestleMania 23 is the topic for tonight. Of course, before we get to that, Matty, it's, at that time of the episode, since these are the first episodes, and all these guests is their first time coming on, where I ask you the proverbial how you popped your wrestling cherry, and ask you how you got into wrestling.
Weird. There's two stories. The first one where you could say I kind of popped it was when I was 3 years old. This was back in the old MCTV local Canadian programming deals where you had local wrestling, and then the WWF took over. I have not watched any local wrestling. I only was able to watch like two random episodes when they came on like at a random spot. Like, the only thing I can remember is Owen Hart coming out in one part, and then Shawn Michaels at the other, doing the, I believe it was called the Heartbreak Hotel, I think it was? I'm trying to remember. It was one of those couch segments, one of those interview segments where they talk or whatever. It could have been like a green screen promo for all I know. But that was three. Of course, the folks being sensible and not wanting their 3-year-old son to watch anything violent, especially around that time. They of course turned it off, or he had me change the channels and everything else. Fast forward about 10 years later, little background. I had dislocated my kneecap and I needed surgery, to get everything replaced. I had torn a ligament in there too, as well. So it was pretty bad. I was laying in the hospital, and our basic cable package back then, we didn't include TSN, which at the time was, WWF's provider, like TSN, WWF.
It was the network that was hosting Raw and SmackDown.
At the time, well, only Raw. SmackDown was a different deal.
Yeah, that's right.
And for those who don't know, yes, stayed now, Boho, the Score Canada, actually, or Sportsnet 360, it was known as the Score back then. They both have Raw and SmackDown now, but TSN had it then. It was Christmas 2000, and it was a random episode. I was on the morphine, so I was like, I was a little bit out of it, but I was just coming through, and of course, the nurse gave you the sleeping pills that keeps you white the fuck awake. So I was like, you know, usually I'm sleeping at, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, but it's like 10. I'm like, fuck it. Take the channel flicker. TV's right there. I turn on Raw, and the first match I see was, after watching the episode, it was, I think it was a tag match between, it was during the pro, they were trying to do the pro, or the, it was the post promo. I think it was after Armageddon.
Yeah.
2000, and the match involved the Hardy Boys and Lita and the Radicals, which was Eddie Guerrero, Perry Saturn, Chris Benoit, and Dean Malenko. Chris Benoit was doing something else, but the core of them. So I watched that, and I said, I'm interested. I don't follow anything, whatever, so I keep going. And, of course, at the end, there was this big, tough hoss of an asshole boss called Vince McMahon, telling this very nice guy, Mick Foley, who apparently, from what the announcer said, he was doing such a good job, a bang-up job as commissioner, right before Christmas, Mick Foley, you gelatinous pile of goo, you're fired. And two things popped in my mind. I'm like, okay, that's evil. And two, I wonder if we have this channel at home so I could watch this some more.
And you never stopped.
No, what solidified it was they were, a couple weeks later, we actually got TSN as part of our basic package. And the first Raw I watched was, it was The Rock's infamous promo on Stephanie. It was The Rock talking about respect. And Stephanie was like, I'm going to teach you respect. You know, The Rock going, You're a $2, no, a 25 cent, no, I'm putting nickels, stamps, and pennies, cigarette, you candy, yes, slut promo.
Yep.
Of course, censored in Canada because we don't like that kind of stuff. Bullshit. It's slut, for God's sakes. And of course, I was hooked then, and of course, Austin came out, and then there was the Alliance. Storyline, which I will say, I am not ashamed to say that I marked out for, because I was watching. It popped it, but I was like, you know, my sister and I were watching the, you know, an LDS, which was the French Canadian TSN.
Yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, folks, that's the Canadian ESPN. And they were had a block of, like, yeah, they had a block of of shows on RDS. It was an hour of Roller Jam. Yes, that Roller Jam.
Oh, God, I remember Roller Jam.
A show called Battle Dome, and then 2 hours of WCW Nitro.
I remember Battle Dome.
Yeah, and before Easy listens, they say, okay, yeah, don't worry. We're going to try to get beyond the Battle Dome. Anyway.
What was wrong with Battle Dome?
No, it's a Thunderdome joke.
Oh.
Clearly, you're not watching Mystery Science Theater enough.
Well, I can't. I don't have Nat Geo.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I keyed. But yeah, then. So yeah, and but we had a passing interest, but I got really into it, obviously.
Yeah. So I would ask you how you're looking forward to the WrestleMania build-up, of course, this year, being that we are talking about WrestleMania. But I don't want to because, I don't want to bore people because more likely people who are going to be listening to this will be listening to the latest episode of WrestleCast, which, of course, I will be on as well.
Of course, yeah, and it's live, too, so...
Yeah, and I don't want to pimp myself, because that would be shameful. I would never, ever do that.
And of course, you'll do that at the end of the show, like I will. But
yes.
And then again, I'll leave it at that. I think it was adequate for a while, and then the pieces started falling together very, very quickly. And it went from a very, very, very slow and not deliberate and very awkward pace to, whoa, full speed ahead, awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Again, I think there will be some debate on that this Friday night.
Yeah, there will be a debate, and that's all I'm going to leave to that for our Friday live recording.
Yeah. So, like I said, it is WrestleMania. Obviously, we're talking everything WrestleMania, which leads us to our topic for tonight, WrestleMania 23. Which had the tagline of All Grown Up, with theme songs of Ladies and Gentlemen by Saliva and The Memory Will Never Die by Default. It was on April 1st, 2007, with an attendance of 80,103 at Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. Featured many wrestlers along with off-screen talent of... commentators John Bradshaw Layfield and Michael Cole for SmackDown, Joey Styles and Taz for ECW, Carlos Cabrera and Hugo Savinovich.
Say it right, damn it.
As the Spanish announced team, and Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler as the Raw announced team, with interviewer Todd, I'm soon going to be on ESPN Grisham.
At the time.
And ring announcers Tony Chimo for SmackDown, Lily Garcia for Raw and the Money in the Bank, Justin Robert for ECW, Howard Finkel for the WWE Hall of Fame class announcement, and Theodore Long for Batista and Undertaker's match, with referees Charles Robinson, Jimmy Cordeas, Mickey Henderson, Marty Elias, Jack Doan, Mike Chioda, Chad Patton, and Scott Armstrong. Ladies and gentlemen, this is WrestleMania 23.
Yeah.
Yes, WrestleMania 23. It's going to be an interesting ride. And actually, we kind of start off with a match that, if you do have the WWE Network, is not on there, actually, which I find odd. It is the actual, I guess, straight live event, so they don't have the dark match that is on the WWE home video, and that's Ric Flair and Carlito versus Gregory Helms and Chavo Guerrero. It was a Lumberjack team tag match, and the Lumberjacks, and I have the name of the Lumberjacks here, Viscera, Crime Time, which are Shad Gaspar and GTG, Chris Masters, Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, Robbie McAllister, Roy McAllister, Super Crazy, Val Venus, Johnny Nitro, Jim Duggan, Eugene, Lance Cade, Trevor Murdoch, Kenny Dystra, Daivari, Shannon Moore, Sivan Grande, Deuce, Domino, Paul London, Brian Kendrick, The Miz, Vito, Scotty Too Hotty, William Regal, Dave Taylor, Jimmy Wang Yang, Jamie Noble, Funaki, Balls Mahoney, Stevie Richards, Little Guido, Marito, Hardcore Holly, and Sitsky. So have you seen this match?
I have, and it's Flair, for God's sakes. you do not say wrong, or you shut the fuck up about Flair. That's all I'm going to say. It wasn't a bad match. I mean, this is the warm-up match. For those who, you know, this is the match for the crowd going, okay, this is the warm-up match. This is not an official WrestleMania, but you warm up.
It's the warm-up match. It's the pre-show match as people are getting into their seats and getting ready.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen this match yet. I guess I probably have to go on YouTube and watch it. But all I've seen is, again, because they talk about it later in the event of it. And so all I've seen is the ending.
Yeah, the ending. And they usually show off the ending to the pre-show match if they have the time, usually. So so they obviously did that there, and it got the people pumped up, and it's Ric Flair, for God's sakes.
It's Ric Flair, and it's Carlito, and I like Carlito. I kind of wish he would come back to the WWE, and maybe that's just me. I think he's a solid performer. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen. Of course, I also wish Gregory Helms would return to the WWE, same for Chavo.
yeah, and of course, you know, people in hell want Slurpees.
Yeah,
you know,
and they want pigs to fly, but of course, none of that is going to happen.
Of
which
course.
Brings us to our opening contest of the night, which of course it had became, I guess, the tradition at this point. The opening match being the Money in the Bank ladder match, because it was the opening contest for WrestleMania 21. It was the second match for WrestleMania 22, and here it was back as the opening match.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe it was the opening matches for 24 and 25. If I'm not...
For the Money in the Bank?
Yeah.
I could double check real quick, but I know 25 was the opening match for... I know Money in the Bank was the opening match at 25. I'm trying to remember for 24 now.
24 was at either the Money in the Bank or it was JBL.
It was a Belfast Brawl.
Yeah, it was.
It was a Belfast Brawl between JBL and Finley.
Yeah. And so,
I had to jog my memory a little bit there.
Yeah. It seemed to be tradition that the Money in the Bank ladder match would be either the first match or the second match, being that it was a big match and got everybody up, because of course
it got everybody to go, let's do this. This is Wrestle freaking Mania.
Yep.
You know.
So our competitors are Mr. Kennedy, CM Punk, being the first ECW star to be at WrestleMania.
Hey, correction. WWECW.
True.
Get it right.
Well, we'll have the ECW originals a little bit later,
I guess.
Of course. But he was technically ECW at the time. Randy Orton, Finlay, Matt Hardy, King Booker, Jeff Hardy, and Edge, with Mr. Kennedy winning in the end. So, I love this match.
It's the Money in the Bank ladder match. You seldom go wrong with that ladder. It's a ladder match at WrestleMania. I mean, you could go as far back as 10. You know you're going to have a good match out of you. Even if you fuck up, you're not going to have a bad match.
I mean, and to make that point proven true is, you know, I've seen a couple of the Money in the Bank matches, of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, and as fun as they are, they don't hold a candle to the Money in the Bank matches that were at WrestleMania.
Fair enough.
I guess you disagree with me.
It depends. It's always about the multi-man matches. You know, it goes back to what Chikara would go. Why are you primarily tag team wrestling? It's because it's like you look at a man as a canvas. Why just color with two colors? Same deal with the ladder matches. Yeah, one on one, that's awesome. There's tension there, but. Yeah, two or three other guys trying to get a thing up there, you know, way up there. You know, the thing up there, 15 foot high.
Yeah. And, of course, the spot of the night, possibly, right off the bat in this match with Jeff Hardy ending Edge's career. Isn't that part of the reason that's where he got that big injury that ultimately led to him having to retire?
Which one?
Well... Jeff Hardy doing the seated senton onto Edge onto the ladder.
I know it sent Edge to the back.
Yeah, I can't remember because I was trying to figure out because I remember Edge talking about
a lot of it would be a cumulative injuries, and of course you know Edge had that bad neck long ago before all that happened. I think it's simple to say, yeah, it could be one of the spots where you'd say, yeah, the wheel's starting to fall off. But yeah. Edge had, let's see, 24, 25, he had a 3 other years before, yeah. You know, he had to call it, was forced to call it quits.
Yeah.
So.
Not to say he had quit there, but I remember somewhere him saying that spot, like, did some serious injury.
Yeah, it damaged him. I mean, yeah. Dispute that it did damage. Look at that spot. You broke a freaking ladder. Yeah, you're gonna, yeah.
I mean, it's a classic Jeff Hardy spot as well. I mean, it's Jeff Hardy going fucking insane.
Yeah, pretty much.
And mind you, the rest of the, again, the ladder match, especially the Money in the Bank ladder match, is usually always a spot fest.
Usually.
What were your favorite spots in the matches?
Well, that spot, you know, the breakaway ladder, that spot right there. There was a spot where a little bit of like memorable spot. Like, you know, like I'm watching this again, and there's this particular spot where, you see people starting to climb. Yeah, Mr. Kennedy's starting to climb. Hold on. I hate to say it, but sometimes Hornswoggle can be funny. It is. It's true. Sometimes a little bastard can be funny. He start, you know, and of course, no one's in the ring. And then Hornswoggle comes out. He's got that little twinkle in the eye. He's going, starts climbing the ladder. And here's Kennedy. He's I'm gonna grab it. Nope. Kennedy! Slap. You could tell where what happens from there, but that it's an awesome spot.
The
rolling senton, whatever you want to call it.
From the ladder, yes. Well, the pretext of that was they said that Finley couldn't climb the ladder because he was afraid of heights or whatever excuse they used.
Yeah, the commentary was being commentary that night, I believe.
But a lot of my favorites actually happened with King Booker. I mean, the spot where he pulls out the little ladder is like, tell me!
I did not just see that.
And it gets blasted with it. And then, of course, the great bookend off the ladder on Randy Orton. And then, of course, Matt Hardy using Shamel to get King Booker down.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, I really loved JBL's commentary. goes, forget her, she's a woman.
Like, yeah.
Okay, Jimmy Hill.
By the way, yeah, this is it. For those who don't know, well, that was definitely not PG.
Nope.
No.
Overall, Orton and Finlay and King Booker, I don't think anybody expected to win, held their own. I mean, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy did a great job, as they always do in the ladder match. Overall, I'd say definitely at least a 4-star match.
Oh, definitely. I'm not going to rate anything. I'm just going to sit back and say, yes, that was an awesome match. And don't expect much out of me, folks. I'm here to gush about matches, and that's it.
Yeah. So our next match is the match that they seemingly wanted to build as the recreation of Hulk Hogan versus Andre.
Actually, this is the Lewis Black thing. He's like, I got a really bad idea. You know, the Democrats and then Republicans. It's that the Democrats is this WWE creative guy at the time, and the Republicans is Vince McMahon. So the creative goes, I got a really bad idea. Let's put Great Khali in the ring at WrestleMania. And of course, Vince McMahon goes, I can make it shittier. Fuck you. Let's put him against Kane. Plug that See No Evil movie. Fuck you.
It was an okay match. I mean, it was definitely the it wasn't the attraction, but it was
one of those atrocity. It wasn't the attraction. It was the atrocity of the night.
I'd say second worst match of the night, because there's another match that has worst match of the night for me. But for what it was, I mean, it was an attraction match. I didn't expect anything from it. It was two big guys going at each other.
Pretty much.
And this was Great Khali. I have to admit, as much as I can't stand him now, there was actually something to him when he first debuted. And that's what he was. He was this big giant who had short matches. That's what he was.
Yeah.
So, for the match that they put, I did like the storyline. I did enjoy the match, as short as it was. I did like the whole chain coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It was what it was. Anything else you have about the match?
Like I said, I watched it. It was okay. It was Khali versus Kane, so you got what you got out of it. There was a spot where, someone choked somebody. Kane, no, Khali choked Kane with the chain from See No Evil for some stupid reason. I think they wanted to plug the DVD release or something.
Oh, yeah, they were.
They had to, I think.
Nope. But after this match, before we go to our next match, we actually had a backstage segment.
Oh, yes.
Crime Time pursuing Eugene the Dance, we'll call it. With the Extreme Expose instead of...
Extreme Expose. They had, if I remember correctly, they started dancing, of course, Mae Young, Moolah.
Are in the same gear.
Are in the same goddamn gear.
And then
you thought, I was like, okay, this is nothing, nothing new. Enter the cameos. All of the cameos.
Oh, yes.
In comes Slick. The style Slick. One of the classic managers, who, by the way, weren't as good, but just happened to be awesome, comes in, talk and jive. And then he gets in, starts dancing. And then the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, if you will. You can't have a party without the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and the music. And I think he was dancing to, in his head. You see, the music was some generic hip-hop music.
Yeah.
But in Dusty's mind, it was the American Dream theme.
American Dream.
Cowbell.
And then... And then in comes all these. You got Jimmy Hart, Arwin, IRS,
Jerry Briscoe doing the powwow. IRS in full gear with his briefcase dancing like the whitest motherfucker in that room, And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Dusty Rhodes was not the whitest motherfucker in that room.
You had Sergeant Slaughter.
Slaughter in there, and yes, he knows.
T.G. Oakland, my God. Hasn't that man ruined enough? If you watch WrestleMania 1, you know what I'm talking about. He's already ruined our national goddamn anthem.
Meet he walks in, and then, of course, oh, Ricky Steamboat.
Ricky Steamboat.
Big pop. And you can hear the crowd pop for that, too.
Yeah, and it gives a wink to the camera. Oh,
winks to the camera, goes back, starts dancing. And, of course, the cherry on top, Ron Simmons.
A.K.A. Farouk.
A.K.A.
Looks at the dancers.
Looks at the camera.
Looks away.
Dancers, camera. Answers, go. Camera, pause. Damn! He walks out, everyone, awkward silence for a second. The roof! The roof! The roof is on fire!
We're marking out to it right now.
Yeah.
It's one of those great classic funny WrestleMania segments.
It's one of those, and I did not know who the fuck Slick was before then. I knew now, believe me.
So we had that, which was fun, and I think really got the crowd popping, which was great for our next match, where MVP, a.k.a. Montel Vontarious Porter, challenges the United States Champion Chris Benoit for the WWE United States Championship.
This will become known as Chris Benoit's last WrestleMania appearance, for those who may not know.
And I'll just say it right here, this was the third best match of the night in my mind.
Yeah, it's Chris Benoit. For those who, we're not praising the asshole that killed whatever. You know, and by whatever I mean, we all know what we mean.
Well, we all know. I mean, let's
get it out there right now. We don't advocate the personal life of the guy. We just advocate the professional wrestling part of his life. That's it.
Well, I'll put it simply like this. There is an unfortunate end to Chris Benoit's life, and unfortunately what happened to his family, to his wife, and to his son. It is a horrible thing, and there is a truth to it that unfortunately may never get out about it. We are not advocating the killing or the murdering or whatever happens had happened that night. What we are talking about is the wrestler who we enjoyed watching at these particular times. It is not enjoying his matches does not advocate violence. It does not advocate going out and murdering people or going out or suicide.
Actually, if anything else, advocating killing people, you do that during Grand Theft Auto anyways.
Well, let's not put that idea in people's minds.
Yeah,
either.
We're not. We're not.
But, yeah. I mean, so...
I mean,
like,
the game, people. Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah, that joke bombed.
Yeah, it did. Because we were serious there. And
we were serious, but we were awkward at the same time. And I was like, okay, this is awkward. Must joke here. Insert joke here.
Well, we'll just say that we had our Maddie Cara moment.
Yes.
Maddie Cara strikes again.
I thought it was Maddie, but, you know, people call it Maddie Cara. Whatever.
Yep. But anyways, back to the match. I mean, I love this match. This was a great match. MVP was wonderful in this match.
MVP is one of those guys from the indie scene where you go, like, you didn't know he was from the indie scene. And you watch, I watch matches from his stuff from the indies, from Full Pro and from Full Impact Pro. And I'm like, okay, so they're really not, so they're gonna, huh. Okay, so he was good then. Okay, and now he's good now. I mean, we're talking about, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, Chris Benoit was in tip-top shape.
Oh, of course he was. Well, the thing about this is that up till now, you really only saw bits of MVP. This was MVP's coming out party and where he really shined.
Yeah, from his from his entrance, which is quite new. Instead of, like, the thing, the pull-up thing you have this stage, which was a pull-away, like a Bob Barker middle split open thing.
Yeah.
Which they used for certain entrances. And you had the thing come out, and of course the cheerleaders come out. It was his coming out party.
It absolutely was. There's also a sort of thing that really starts with this, and it kind of was in the Money in the Bank, but really started with this match of you know, the winner of the match, at least for a lot of the big main events, being dominated and coming back and winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because MVP really dominates a majority of this match, and then Chris Benoit comes back at the end and wins the match. And we see this in the Undertaker-Batista match, in the Bobby Lashley-Umaga match, and in the John Cena-Shawn Michaels match. It's a theme I really felt was through this WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was a common theme, but then again, that's the story of most good matches. Sometimes simplicity is most, you know, keep it simple, stupid, you know.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments of the match is MVP goes for that big boot, and Chris Benoit hangs onto the ropes, then goes again, but still MVP catches him with the big boot. And it was just this great storytelling that I really enjoyed in this match. And also the fact that, you know, they ended with the flying headbutt.
Yeah.
I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, they mixed it in. Whatever works, man. Whatever works, I say. You know, that's how I thought it.
Well, it was also the thing of, you know, you're so used to the crossface, and to see him win with something else, I thought was great.
It showed that he's good, that sometimes you don't need that crossface. I think that's something that they don't do in WWE. They didn't do it often then, but they certainly don't do it as often now. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, you need that a little bit of unexpected thing or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And so, great match, and then that followed by another great match as the streak of 14-0 goes up against the World Heavyweight Championship as The Undertaker faces off against Batista, the World Heavyweight Champion.
I actually had that on. I actually have it on my PS3 running right now. It's a file. I'll admit it. But I had the file going, and I had that match going. You know what? The knock on Batista is, you know, he's not always a big dude. He doesn't know how to wrestle. I say that, you know, for what they did to Batista at Evolution worked, because ever since he left Evolution, he's been having progressively better matches.
Oh, yes.
Progressively better. And, of course, he's got the occasional dud, you know, and happens. I mean, everybody has to face a great Khali, even back then. But, you know, he would have matches where they don't have to be, you know, top match of the night, but you're not left going, well, that match sucked. And with Undertaker, it's like the big fight feel.
Oh, it absolutely was. And again, like I said, that common theme of the person who would ultimately lose, in this case Batista, obviously, as Taker would go to 15-0 and become World Heavyweight Champion. You know, he dominated a lot of the match, and he was just aggressive against The Undertaker, and it also created this great feel like, oh my god, The Undertaker might actually lose.
Very few men in that stage from 23 onward, when I think about it, were able to give that to successfully implant that doubt. Even beforehand, you had that little bit of Taker, who's been powerful. He's been powerful all his career. And then there's Batista. It's literally what Monsoon would say, you know, the immovable force, meaning the unstoppable force, meaning the immovable object.
Yeah, because Batista, to put it in a way, he was explosive.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put him. And there was a lot of great spots. The power slam to the table spot. They called it a running power slam, but there was no running on those tables.
No. It was a power slam, but you didn't need to run too far. A lot of people think, oh, it's just two big dudes. I mean, it's definitely, the styles were different. Like you said, Batista was, and still kind of is, a big power guy, explosive power.
Yeah.
You know? Even in his smaller frame, you can see he hasn't lost too much of that explosiveness.
Yeah.
Taker was more of a thinking man's guy. Yes, he could go explosive. Yes, he is a great pure striker. But he could go technical. Even then, he was able to go technical, had a few tricks up his sleeve. And, of course, the psycho. And by thinking man, I mean that he's, you know, shit your pants thinking.
Yeah. Mind games.
Yeah, mind.
And, I mean, The great spot Taker, I thought, had was the dive over the top rope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the great spot there, which they would recreate over and over again in future matches. Mm. And just, again, all
especially
the near falls.
At 20 fucking five. Oh, shit.
Shit.
I'm sure that's another, that's a story for another podcast, obviously.
Oh, yes, it is. But, yeah, and then, again, the near falls at the end of the match where, you know, Taker hits the last ride. Batista kicks out. Taker hits the chokeslam. Batista kicks out. Batista hits the spear. Hits the Batista bomb.
Taker kicks out.
Finally, Taker gets him, revs him into the corner, picks him up, puts him in the tombstone, and streak goes to 15-0. It was a great, just this great back and forth match. It was the second best match of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, at the time, it was the first best match of the night. Of course, we did not know what would come later in the night.
No. After these messages,
we'll be right back. Hey everyone, my name is Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986
and Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
And write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air, eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.
I guess you weren't so tough after all, were you? Now it's time to send you to the next dimension.
291 original episodes.
This can't be. It's still going on.
325 manga chapters.
You act innocent, but you're deadly.
Time to die!
Dozens of characters, hundreds of enemies, and a whole lot of violence.
That kind of violence is pointless!
You see, Super Saiyans tend to be a bit violent.
Oh, crap!
Join hosts Donovan and Jesse as they cover the arrival of the Saiyans, the journey to Namek, the battle with Frieza, the mystery of the androids, and the terror of Majin Buu. The Next Dimension, a Dragon Ball Z podcast. Join the fight at dbznextdimension.libsyn.com.
See ya.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
To record another new trailer.
Another one?
Yes. You know that we read comics and then talk about comics, because as we've established, talking about comics you've not read is just dumb.
Yeah, and you make me do it every Thursday.
Well, we've moved.
Have we?
Yes, we have outgrown our old location.
I don't feel like I've moved.
And we have now moved to twotruefreaks.com.
What was that again?
twotruefreaks.com. Hey Kids Comics, still every Thursday at twotruefreaks.com.
My name is Michael Bailey, and I am a terrible geek. I don't watch Doctor Who, I don't care for anime, I've never seen any of the Harry Potter films, much less read the books. I like Star Wars and Star Trek okay, but I've never really ventured far into the extended universes of either property. Hell, I have never even watched a single episode of The Walking Dead. So what do I like?
Comic books.
I have been reading and collecting comic books since 1987, and I have been a fan of superheroes for as long as I can remember. Some would consider this a hobby, but I prefer to look at it as what it truly is, a crippling addiction that I may never recover from. To deal with this borderline personality disorder, I started a podcast in 2007 called
Views from a Long Lost.
Every 2 weeks, or so, depending on real life, I pick a particular series, or issue, or character, or whatever to talk about, and then I talk about them, because that's kind of the point of a podcast. Sometimes I'm alone. Sometimes I have a guest, like my semi-regular co-host, the Irredeemable Shag, or my other semi-regular co-host, Thomas DJ, or with another friend from the podcasting world. The show is located at www.viewsfromalongbox.com. And from there you can find the iTunes link, the email address, as well as the backlog of episodes.
Views from the Long Box.
A podcast about comics, or a desperate cry for help. You decide. Every other Tuesday, or so, depending on real life, at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com.
Second best match of the night, just a great match.
Yeah.
Which was then followed by,
it was an eight-man clusterfuck, but it was, as far as clusterfucks, I've seen worse.
Rather than call it the fourth worst match of the night, I'd rather call it the fifth best match of the night. Because in my mind, you know what, there's only really two bad matches. One, of course, we said it was Great Khali and Kane, and the one other one we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
Next match was an 8-man tag match of the ECW original.
Actually, hold on. Before then, there was a vignette. I was actually watching that. Vince McMahon talking to Stephanie's baby and getting all kinds of pissed off.
Well, there was two vignettes.
Yeah.
The first one, a little bit earlier, was Donald Trump in his room and the Boogeyman comes.
Yeah.
And you're like, it scares away Miss America, which, God, by the way, if there's one thing that pissed me off, it was former Miss America and the Miss Teen Americas in the crowd who were booing Vince in the match we'll get to in a little bit. I'm like, why are you putting the camera on them? Why are you ruining my WrestleMania? But, you know, the boogeyman goes, I'm the boogeyman, and I'm going to get you a sandwich. And he goes to get a sandwich. And so Trump goes back on the phone, and all of a sudden, here comes a mini boogeyman. And he looks at him, and he's got worms in his mouth, and he goes back like, this place is weird.
Oh, really? Welcome to the WWE. Casey, notice.
Yes. And then, of course, you have the point with...
At that point, it was Vince, talking to Baby. My favorite part of that vignette is at the end. You smell it? You smell it, Steph? He just took a Trump.
Oh, Vince.
Vinny.
Yep. And then, so, I'm trying to
break your concentration. I got in the background there. I had to bring it up.
Well, it brings up a good point. Actually, that, did that vignette happen after them? No, it didn't.
No, it happened before the ECW Originals versus the New Breed.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, before the ECW Originals, they actually announced the Hall of Fame class of 2007, which was... Jim Ross. Yeah, it was. It was 2007. I just watched it. It was Jim Ross. It was Jerry Lawler.
No. This they had the New Breed and the Originals. That did not happen before that match.
I'm looking at the notes on Wikipedia. I apologize, and it's telling me that it happened before the match.
I have the pay per view to it. It was Taker posing, and then the vignette, and then the ECW Originals,
and then the Hall of Fame.
And then the Hall of Fame.
So we'll go over the ECW's original now. Okay, so the 8-man tag matches we're going to get to of the ECW originals of Rob Van Dam, Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, and the Sandman versus the New Breed of Elijah Burke, or as I like to call him, Elijah, I'm soon going to get the shit scared out of me on Ghost Hunters Live. I'll tell you my CM Punk story involving that in a second. Marcus Corvon, a.k.a. formerly known as Monte Brown. Matt Stryker and the Vampire Kevin Thorne with the, oh, please go out with me, Ariel.
By the way, all four of these gentlemen, by the way, no longer in WWE and have had a longer WWE career than Braden Walker.
But my Elijah Burke story is, I think I told you this, when I was a couple years ago, I was at Wizard World Philadelphia, and CM Punk was there, and I was at the panel, and I asked a question, and I asked CM Punk about what they thought of that moment of Elijah Burke being scared on Ghost Hunters Halloween Live, and he told us that, while they're preparing, on Monday Night Raw and stuff, they'll sometimes have stuff play on the Titantron, and that from time to time, they will have... that moment where Elijah Burke gets the shit scared out of him and runs down the hall like a little girl, play over and over again on the Titantron.
Oh, no.
we all thought was awesome. But this was a good match. I mean, like I said, it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a great match. But it was a good match. It was sort of a good sort of ECW.
Yeah, they had
match.
7 minutes for eight guys, and so it was obviously going to be spot here, spot there, and that's it.
And for what it wasn't good, and RVD being really the face of ECW getting the pinfall.
Yeah.
I thought it fit, overall good match.
Very good match. There's nothing wrong. It was a standard match, that had a few minutes here and there, and that's it.
Yeah. And which brings us then, as I said before, right before the next match, we had...
Actually, no, I'm watching through. That's weird. When did it happen now?
Wikipedia is telling me it happened before the ECW match.
I'm looking through it. I'm looking through the show here real quick.
Well, I'm just going to put it right here. Before we get to our next match.
It happened after McMahon and Trump.
It happened after McMahon and Trump?
Yeah.
All right. Then I will...
No, hold on. Where'd you guys put it, damn it?
I think they put it before the ECW original, or maybe that file has it cut out.
No, because I would have seen it by now.
Maybe it happened before Batista and Taker.
Maybe. You know what?
Yeah, you know what? Yes, it did. It happened before.
Talk about it now, because I think, yeah.
Yeah, it happened then, so.
Whoops.
Tommy Cara strikes again.
Actually, a little bit of both, because we both screwed up a little bit.
So let's go over our 2007 Hall of Fame class. We have the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
If you will.
Induction of the Hall of Fame of Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig,
mm-hmm.
who is represented by his wife. Jerry the King Lawler, who the night before was...
I can confirm it was before Batista Taker.
Jerry the King Lawler, inducted by William Shatner, which is awesome. Nick Bockwinkel, legendary four-time AMW World Heavyweight Champion.
AWA.
AWA, sorry.
You had NW before for supper, didn't you?
I haven't had supper yet, so... I'm working off fumes. Mr. Fuji, legendary former manager of many WWE tag teams.
Hey, look, Sean, isn't that Mr. Fuji? Oh, I love Mr. Fuji!
Like.
Mr. Fuji's not over there!
The original Sheik.
At Far Hat?
Yep. Jim Ross, who's introduced by Steve Austin. And that is your 2007 Hall of Fame class. Great Hall of Fame class, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Wild Samoans, I almost forgot them. It didn't have it on the list I had, I don't know why, but the Wild Samoans.
Yeah,
were
Wild
awesome.
Samoans were included in that as well, yeah.
Yes. I thought a great, I actually remembered Nick Bullwinkle.
Bockwinkle. You just compared it to Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. They sound so similar.
I would like to think Nick Bockwinkle had a better promos than Bullwinkle the Moose.
Hey, Rocky, you want to do something completely different?
I'm going to cut promos with intelligent words in them, with big words in them. Anyway.
All right, Rocky. But no, I thought a great Hall of Fame class. I mean, American Dream, Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler. I mean, Jerry Lawler, long time coming for all the stuff he's done. I thought it was a great Hall of Fame class all around.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just laughing at your yawn. I'm sorry.
It's a yawn. I was like, I am running a little bit of fumes myself.
Well, with that, we'll bring ourselves to the Battle of the Billionaires in a hair versus hair match where the millionaire's chosen wrestler loses, he loses his hair.
Basically.
We have Bobby Lashley with the Trump, Donald Trump, versus Umaga for Vince McMahon with his manager, Alejandro
Estrada.
You could roll your R's.
Escúcheme. My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You would think you're not Canadian.
Oh, don't worry. I know I'm white, and I damn sure know I'm lame. Believe me.
By the way, we have to announce our special guest referee. That the recent movie star of The Condemned, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And boy, you know what? I enjoyed this match more than I thought I would in rewatching it.
It's because Vince McMahon is at ringside being Vince McMahon.
And you know what? The only person who brings it down a bit is
Trump.
Donald Trump. Because he doesn't do anything.
Come on, Lashley. Come on. Come on, Bobby. Come on.
They're hijacking the match. It's like, what's going on here? I'm like, do something. And then he does. I'm like, oh, wow. You tackled Vince McMahon. You tackled the 69-year-old man, you motherfucker. Well, great job for finally helping.
To be fair, this is Vince McMahon. He is no average human being.
I understand that. But Donald Trump could have done something more.
Yeah, but this is Donald Trump. The only thing he knows he's smart about is money. That's it. And I doubt his intelligence quotient towards money is high anyways.
I doubt his intelligence on anything is high. I mean, have you seen his presidential campaigns? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a low blow?
See, I was going to keep it classy with the money jokes, but...
I am not classy, my friend.
And the fact that he's a broke... He's either constantly rich or constantly broke.
I respect conservative views, but Donald Trump is in the same class as Sarah Palin. They are nuts. Well, they are nuts.
Hey, his hair is just as bad as Sarah Palin's speech impediment.
But by the way, that was my favorite moment of the match. At the end of the match, everyone, of course, hilarious shaving of Mr. McMahon. And by the way,
it's Vince. And of course, the line of the night, Jim Ross. One of life's great mysteries have been solved. It was his real hair all along.
No. That Jerry Lawler did. Jim. Yeah, Jerry Lawler then follows it up by saying, "If the man wants to run his fingers through his hair, he's just gonna have to cut his hand through his pockets." I'm like, Which, after I thought about it, I realized, oh, he's talking about his ass hair, which is not. No, oh, they were talking about what I thought they were talking about.
You and I have both seen his ass when he got kissed by Regal. It's an ugly ass, but it is indeed a hairless ass.
So they were talking about what we think they're talking about, which I'm like, oh my god, they put that on fucking TV. Well, not TV, but pay-per-view.
They put that on pay-per-view.
This is what WWE used to be, folks. Before we had to worry about mothers.
No, they had to worry about mothers. They're just like, hey, listen, fuck you, TV-14. Fuck you. They chose to worry about mothers at since WrestleMania 24.
Yeah. But for me, all that great, and mind you, it was a great match between Lashley and Umaga. Both of them did very well, but for me, the moment of the night is they're all celebrating, and then Austin has a beer with Trump, and what happens? Stone Cold Stunner to Donald Trump! And I swear to God to you, I've seen this a million times. I was watching it the other night. I jumped off my couch and started
And believe us, folks, Trump doesn't take that stunner very well. But he took it.
He took it.
He took it like the boss he is. Like a boss.
I just wanted to see his ass get stuttered, and I got it. So it saved the match, at least for Donald Trump's involvement in it. But we go for a match that was actually pretty fun to watch, to a match that was, as we like to call it in the business, piss break.
Yeah.
As we have... very recent at the time, Playboy cover girl, because there used to be a time where WWE actually used to, you know, promote women who were strong enough to be on the cover of Playboy, in Ashley versus the WWE Women's Champion Melina in a lumberjack match.
All right, let's break it down for you folks. Ashley, the Playboy cover girl, versus the lady we wanted to be, to be the Playboy cover girl. If that makes any sense.
You didn't think Ashley was hot?
Oh, Ashley was smoking hot.
But you wanted to see Melina.
I wanted to see Melina do the naked split, okay? And damn it, I'm not the only one.
I can understand that. But your lumberjills for this WWE Women's Championship match were Mickie James, Layla, Jillian Hall, Candice Michelle, Kelly Kelly, Trinity, Tori Wilson, Brooke, Crystal Marshall, Michelle McCool, Maria, and Victoria.
Majority of which sticks with tits.
Exactly. And the only moment I really liked in this match, and it's because of recent things that are a part of the WWE now, is there's a moment where Melina gives Ashley the big swing. And I started counting. I went, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You don't like me anymore, do you?
I'm silent. I'm over here. I'm over here.
It's a piss break. You have nothing to say about this match.
It's a piss break match. It was a decent match. To be fair, it was decent. It was a women's match, so your expectations should not be high. But
I mean, the Playboy pillow fight match between Tori Wilson and Sable, if I remember right, in WrestleMania 22, was more exciting and fun than this match. Which it shouldn't be!
Yeah.
I mean, as much as that, I admit having fun watching those matches, it shouldn't be as... I mean, especially when you had, in recent past, Trish Stratus versus Lita setting the bar so high. Mm. It was... But, it was what it was. And then it was a clusterfuck. in many ways. I think we can agree, worst match of the night?
Pretty much.
I find it interesting. We have worst match of the night, and then we have match of the night following it.
Naturally, because it's the main freaking event.
Let's get to it.
Yeah.
We have Shawn, the Heartbreak Kid Michaels.
By the way, it's not Shawn, the Heartbreak Kid Michaels. It's the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
Well, okay. The Heartbreak... Tommy Carr strikes again. The Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, representing D Generation X, versus the WWE Champion John Cena for the WWE Championship.
Which, having watched this later, I'm like, that's my only gripe about this. This is Shawn Michaels. Of course, for those, a little background, Triple H had the quad injury. He tore in his right quad earlier. And Shawn Michaels was representing DX, and I don't know, I think the long-term deal was, hey, let's go up to let's go up to WrestleMania, but obviously that didn't happen. So when Michaels came out, he came out to the DX music. Yeah. I'm like, okay, at the time, I'm like, okay, I don't mind, but he's not in DX green. Yeah, he does the X thing and everything else, but I look at the match and I was like, why didn't they just have his regular music? That's my only gripe about this match, by the way. This is like nitpicking,
Yeah.
Not nitpicking. This is something I'm like, it's a head scratcher.
Yeah. Because it's one of those matches, when anybody says John Cena can't wrestle, I put this is one of those matches I put on, I'm like, tell me he cannot.
As do I, sir. As do I. A lot of people would say, a lot of documentaries later say, when Michaels and John Cena, it's like John Cena went to finishing school. Because that's what it was. John Cena needed that polish and needed just a little bit more polish just to get to send him on the way. And that was it. That was the match that did it.
This was the match that really, this one against Triple H the year before really put him that he was the top. But this is what cemented it.
Yeah.
And, by the way, great match. Again, Shawn Michaels dominates a majority of the match. Great storytelling with the picking of John Cena's knee and ankle. The great spot with the moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I love the fact that it was Michaels beating him at every punch, but when Cena was finally able to land, it was like one power move. Because it was, again, that power versus speed. And technique.
Yeah.
And again, it was this great storytelling of Michaels just kept countering every move, and the finish comes where it's a counter to a counter to a counter into John Cena's finisher. And into the STF in the middle of the ring, and my God, the torque Cena puts on that motherfucker.
Or the torque he looks like he's putting in there, because, there's some flexing going on there, but... Yeah, it looks like that was an intense submission, and it was. And for Michaels to tap out, very few people have been able to do that, folks.
I think it's only Cena and Angle.
Cena and Angle, yeah.
Yeah. It just an immense, I mean, great back and forth contest as well.
That was a great back and forth. Yes, Michaels dominated because that was a story that he's a veteran. He's the guy that's like, you know what, dude, this is my stage. I'm the veteran. You're still a fucking rook to me, Rook.
Yeah.
Noob.
And by the way, we also didn't mention it with Undertaker. By the way, I want to mention a great entrance for the Undertaker this year.
Oh, yeah.
That backlight. But John Cena had the entrance of the night.
Yeah, that big old Ford Mustang crashing through a freaking plate glass window.
Yeah, great one. Like, we're on the set of the Fast and Furious. And, of course, one of the lines of the night from Jim Ross going, "Remind me never to ride shotgun with John Cena."
Yeah.
And a great new John Cena shirt, the first of many.
The first of thousands. The first in a long line of ancestors.
Yep. But great, I mean, and I love, like, the switching music on the referee, knocking the referee out, who never moved again.
I know.
The pile driver. Again, it's one of those moments where, you know, for wrestling fans, we know that the pile driver is supposed to be banned in the WWE.
At that point, I think it was, around the cusp, I think. At that point, because, you know, very seldom people used it, but it was one of those things they didn't mind it. I think after that year, they said, okay, flat out, the only guy that's allowed to do it is The Undertaker. That's it.
Of course, until CM Punk would do it.
Yeah, yeah, but here's the thing. It was still disallowed. It just pissed off a lot of people. But they said, but the match was good, right?
Yeah.
I can't stay mad at you, you money-grubbing, you money-making son of a bitch. Fuck you. Until the money-making son of a bitch leaves, but that's another story for another day.
I get to that. Oh, you had to bring that up. Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah.
From
my opinion of elsewhere from WrestleCast, I'm of the opinion that he's done. Just saying. Moving on.
Yeah. We'll save that Friday night.
Well, yeah. Actually, I'll say this right now. John has in his words, he said he has a controversial opinion about CM Punk.
He
considers it controversial, but again, we'll get to that.
Yeah, but going back, the pile driver, again, just everything of this match just felt, again, that big fight feel. This felt like this big fight. It felt heavyweight
like
contest.
The main event.
It felt like the main event. It felt like this heavyweight even if Shawn Michaels isn't really a heavyweight. I mean, he's a light heavyweight, but not like a big honking person.
Ask him if he cares or cares.
I know.
You know?
Not that I care either. And I've talked about this with you. That's what I care about. I want to have that big heavyweight fight feel. And I don't need two big heavyweights to do that. But, you know, you get like CM Punk and John Cena. It has that big heavyweight fight feel. You get Shawn Michaels and Triple H in the ring together at main event of Mania. It's that big fight feel.
It's that feel where you go, yeah.
Yeah. And it's better than a big Mike Tyson or, you know, Floyd Money Mayweather match because, you know, their matches are probably going to end in like 15 seconds. So you don't get your money's worth. You got your money's worth. Or better yet, UFC, which matches end in 5 seconds.
Then again, with UFC, it's like, if once you understand the complexities, you kind of get it, you know?
Yeah, I don't like UFC.
And they don't, with UFC, it's like, they've taken to wrestling, a lot of their booking. They don't say, yeah, here's the big main event here, but we have, like, so many other matches, you know,
that they're all as
equal consideration to the main event, but they put some consideration in fives. Okay, here's the build-up to it.
Boxing,
you get like one, maybe two fights or, you know, on TV anyway. I mean, I've been to a live boxing event. They have like an undercard and then the main event, but even then, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, but now my issue with UFC now is like they're always, always in guard if it doesn't end in 5 seconds and it's boring as hell to me. It just is.
You pick. It's a case of you pick the fights that seem interesting to you. That's it. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have not seen a UFC match in about a year. So.
Yeah, but we're getting off topic. Yeah, I mean, I think final thing is obviously match of the night, and would have been probably match of the year if it hadn't been for the next night on Raw and the epic 60-minute match between Cena and Mike.
The match that brought Y2J back, by the way.
Oh, he said that was the match that brought him back?
He said it in his book and DVD. He said it in his DVD. This is the match that said, where he got the itch back. I'm not kidding. You watch that shit. Chris Jericho, Break the Walls Down or whatever. Bring the Chris Jericho DVD. Watch it. I'm not kidding.
But awesome match. And again, the strength of Shawn Michaels to sell him beating Cena, but at the same time making Cena looking strong as hell by super kicking him and winning by just falling on him.
Yeah.
At that match. But and we bring it up because it was the follow-up, basically, to this match. And it was a great follow-up. I mean, you basically got two epic, wonderful matches for the price of one on free TV and one
for $6, and that $60 match was awesome. So,
I mean, this match alone was worth the $60.
Yeah.
I mean, the other matches were great. This was worth the $60.
If you split it, yeah, the majority of that money probably went to Cena versus Michaels, but it was evenly split. I would say evenly split between the Money in the Bank match, Taker versus Batista, and the main event.
Yeah. So. I would say this is a 5-star match.
Damn near close to it, yeah.
Yeah. And so with that being said, I guess it's final ratings for WrestleMania 23. First, what's your rating of it, and where do you place it at best WrestleManias of all time?
I'll say this. As far as final rating, if the WrestleCast had been around, I probably would have given it a solid 4. The crowd was there for the entire night. They had booked it. They had placed the matches. They had given the match order considerable detail, and they made sure that every match did the job properly. You had a little bit of everything with this wrestling.
Too bad they don't do that now.
Yeah, it's weird because from, I would say, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 22, 23, and 24, they had wonderful booking as far as match order.
Yes.
You know, 25, they had that. You know, how could you, you know, they were thinking, Michaels versus Taker is going to tear the house down. They didn't think they were going to tear the entire state down, but again, that's another WrestleMania. For this one, it was a case of they put the matches at just the right place to get the crowd going and to keep the crowd from blowing up on them, you know, from going too hard. And then the main event was, okay, put them to bed. Go nuts.
Put them to bed, go nuts.
And they didn't.
Night-night.
Michael said, go nuts? Go nuts? Okay.
I'll go nuts.
Don't mind if I knew. So it was properly a thing. But as far as reading, as far as best WrestleManias, it's hard to put it somewhere on a list now because you have so many great WrestleManias. You know, if I were to put it on like a top 5, I would say 17, 20, I would say 3 or 4. It's definitely in the top 5.
I would definitely put it. It's definitely in my top 5.
Yeah.
I would put it. I mean, to me, both WrestleMania 22 and 23 are both in my top 5.
Yeah.
I would put at least 23 as a solid 3 in my top 5. It, as far as being one of the best, I think it is one of the most best solid WrestleManias that's ever been put on. And for me, I just give it as a whole a 5 out of 5. The main events carried the pay-per-view. The undercard, for the most part, was fun. I mean, you had some great classic smaller matches in there with Chris Benoit and MVP. Ric Flair, Carlito versus Gregory Helms and Chavo Guerrero. Yeah, you did have your dud, but and also this WrestleMania basically had everything a WrestleMania is supposed to have. You had the main events. You had the attraction matches. You had the solid sort of smaller wrestling matches.
Yeah.
You know, you had a bit of everything, and that's what you want in your WrestleMania. So that is it for our review of WrestleMania 23. 4 out of 5 for Maddie, 5 out of 5 for me. I think we both agree we love it immensely.
This was, you know, my rating is more objective, but then again, it's an awesome thing. It's definitely recommended. If you want, like, you'll have a hard time with some of the lower matches, especially when it comes to, you know, the ECW originals. Like, who the fuck was this guy? But again, don't let it distract.
So that's it for this episode of CMG Reviews. Maddie,
yes.
It is time to be the godfather and bring out your whole train and pimp away, if you may.
Yes, I got to plug stuff. I got to plug a lot of stuff. I will say this right now, the WrestleCast, obviously, if you're listening to this after we go live on Friday, I don't know when this is posted, by the way, so...
You know, I'm going to try to put this up tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So if you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday morning, we are doing this live show. We only do WrestleCast Live 4 times a year or 5 times a year. You know, at least 4 times when we preview one of the big WWE pay-per-views, like the big 4. We do it. We're going to do it live on our WrestleMania preview. So if you're interested in the WrestleCast, we're live, rvtentertainment.com. Follow me on Twitter, at MattyG316. I'll put the links up, and I'll tell you when it is. But it's 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on ustream.com/channel/RVT-RVTE. And follow from there. Mattis will be joining us.
Yes, I will.
He'll be joining us for that, along with my buddy The Shades and his buddy, and of course a good friend of RVT in general, The Hairball, will be joining the myself and T-Dub as we go through the Hall of Fame, a trickling a little bit of news, and then our big preview of WrestleMania 30, which includes... Triple H versus Daniel Bryan, the winner to receive the third spot in the triple threat match for the WWE World Title. The triple threat match itself, Taker versus Lesnar, and all of that good stuff.
Here's a spoiler for it. T-Dub thinks Matt Hardy's going to win the World Heavyweight Champ, WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
It depends. It depends on his mood. Sometimes it's Matt Hardy, sometimes it's Heath Slater, sometimes it's Jinder Mahal.
No. He's already stated that Jinder Mahal and Heath Slater are going to win the tag team champions. They're going to run in and take Los Matadors' spot and win the tag team champions.
Yeah, but that's TWK for you. Yeah.
I made you lose your spot. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. He's okay. I'll see you later. If you missed the live show, the live show's on ustream.tv/RVT, so you get the point. But it is there, and it will be on... if you miss the live show, no problem. We do it live. We post it, or I post it every Sunday. So it's Sunday Sunday morning. Like it's like the between Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday. It'll be up there. You'll have... I believe it'll be a 3-hour show. Typically, they run a little long, these live shows. But we'll see how it goes. I'm not going to say a damn thing other than that might happen.
Yeah.
But
we've gone the 5-hour tour, folks.
No, well, we actually touched 4 hours once, but like we actually went 3.5, 3. We almost touched 4 hours one time.
I was there for a couple of them.
Yeah, but for WrestleMania, he's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's okay. But otherwise, RVTEntertainment.com. I also happen to be co-host/producer of a little show called RVT's Ranger Recap. And we're not on the show this week because there is no Power Rangers. There was no Power Rangers because of the freaking Sponge. Fuck you, SpongeBob!
That was last weekend, right?
Yeah, last weekend again? Don't expect a show this week, but I will say this. We'll have a live show next Tuesday on the very same Ustream channel and on rvtentertainment.com, and we will have... we are going to do an interview with somebody on Friday, which is related to the convention that we are going in November called Ranger Stop. So we're going to be doing that. It will not be live, by the way. Like, I only, like, there's Rift Down with you, T-Dub, and yourself and your gang, and the gang you have. And then there's a WrestleCast live. So, I was a busy boy. for any one of you folks who happen to be living in Ottawa, I happen to be the camera guy for Big Time Pro Wrestling, which happens to have a show on this Saturday. So, It is.
So support your local independent wrestling.
Yes. I was about to say, it's a Dorito Carlton Raceway. Tickets are $15 a pop. It's decent wrestling, and it gets you. If you're looking for PG wrestling, it's good. It's good for the kids. It's good to bring the kids around. And hell yes. That's all I'm going
to say. Remember to support your local independent wrestling organization.
Support your independent promotion as soon as possible.
I had to help you out.
Yes. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter at MattyJ316. That's all my plugs.
Yep. And, of course, remember, folks, you have any comments about this or about any future shows or any pay-per-views you want me the review, because I know there's a lot of reviews, so like, oh, you got to review this, got to review that. Then there are several ways you can contact the show. One, you can contact the show at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page, which you can find at www.facebook.com, and look for the Absolution Network. Leave us a comment there, in particular the post that we make there for each show. And, of course, you can always leave a comment on the website itself that you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Of course, remember to check out all the other 132 Productions content. That, of course, includes the Otaku Momentum and Tom's Prerogative right here on the Absolution Network. The Shaft Plus podcast with Gene and Chris, who put out one hell of an Anime Boston review. Check that out. Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast. I recently released my Rodan review, so check that out. You can find that at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, my comic book crazy podcasting site, which includes Hexcast, Spectacular Webs, and the newly relaunched CM Jews comic book crazy podcast. You can find all of that on www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. Of course, remember to check out all our other friends on the sidebar of the site. That, of course, includes Maddie J and the WrestleCast, and RVT Entertainment, Michael Bailey and Views from the Long Box, Brad Douglas and the Spider-Man Crawl Space, Steven Schleicher and the Major Spoilers Podcast, Scott Gardner and the Two Freaks Podcasting Network, along with many more. So that is it for this episode of CM Jews Wrestling Reviews. Next week we go into April, which means Backlash. But which one? You'll just have to tune in to find out. So until next time, my wrestling fans, remember one goddamn thing. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around, all around, they bring me down to negative but I believe, yes, I believe, I say that I believe. I stand on my feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might and get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight and to the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of to the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul.
myself to you from the essence of my being, and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be holding a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being, and I sing to my God. Songs of love and healing, I want Mashiach now. Your soul, you gotta give yourself up, and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself, and I don't even know.